is.
Benzoid Report number 88 for May 29th, 2008. Madison, Wisconsin. I found them on GarageBand. Well, as I say every time I podcast, it seems on the Benzoid Report. Good to be back. Sorry it takes so long between episodes. I'll try to do a little better. Today I'm doing an experiment. This is Linux. actually working for recording, which I have not been able to do up till this point. But with the Ubuntu 8.04 upgrade and the addition of an iMic USB mic controller, I don't know what you call it, I guess a USB sound card, I'm able to make this work in Linux. So I'm going to try to produce this entire episode using the Linux operating system. So I hope you like the brass band intro song there. I got that this weekend, this last weekend. On Saturday, I filled in at WNMC on the Louisiana Sound Show, which is the show that usually precedes my folk air show. And you got to be real careful when you say folk air, because you could say folker. And, you know, if you're a French-speaking person with a really thick accent, that might be bad. So, anyway, yeah, got Ubuntu 8.04 working here, and I'm recording this in Audacity, and it's, I don't remember what version of Audacity. Hopefully I can hit this without causing any audio mishaps. It's the 1.3.4 beta of the Audacity free digital audio editor for Linux. Of course, if you install Ubuntu and probably Fedora and SUSE and however many other flavors of Linux there are, more than likely Audacity is either already included or available fairly easy, you know, in the software repositories. But like I said, I've been kind of experimenting with Linux on and off over the last couple of years, and the big stumbling block was getting the audio to work. So now that I've got that working, I don't know. It's looking better and better. Of course, I've been sort of leaning towards the Macintosh here lately. But I don't know. Let's see how this works. But anyway, this Audacity beta, the newer version of Audacity, has this thing called auto-ducking. That's how I was able to insert my voice in there. That was something that was missing from the older version and the Windows version. Although I'm going to, for the heck of it, I'm going to try to upgrade the Windows version I have to the new one, the new beta. I don't know how new it is, but anyway, the beta version. And see if it doesn't act the same on Windows, because they produce Strange Today currently in Audacity. But, you know, that may not always be the case. They just got a copy of Audacity. No, not Audacity. Adobe Audition for Windows. And I've been playing with it. There's a whole lot more bells, whistles, buttons, and other miscellaneous controls and views, and it's a pretty heavy-duty program. I'm going to sign up for a video class on how to operate it. But I have figured out some of it. In fact, if you listen to the last couple of Strange Todays with my voice on it, the one that Kathy did for today, which is the 29th, that one was done in Audacity, but I did the 28th and the one that's coming out tomorrow on the 30th. I did that in Audition. So let me know what you think of that. That's www.strangetoday.com. But anyway, I think I'm going to play another song from the Kingpin Brass Band and gather my thoughts, because they do have a couple of interesting thoughts that occurred to me here lately. So, anyway, here's the Kingpin Brass Band again from GarageBand. Said last weekend on the Louisiana Sound Show, after I played that song and the one previous, let's see, I should actually say what the names of the songs are, but I can't remember now. And they're not in the track, but the first one was Maniac, or Manic. I think it was Manic. I don't know. We'll see. I'll put it in the show notes, which, by the way, I have to put up when I put up the podcast, because I'm using PodPress, WordPress combination, so you got to put something in the blog to get the podcast to go. So, did you hear the little R2-D2 sound in the background? Probably not, but if you did, that was my D-Star ham radio. That's what static sounds like in digital. So anyway, that wasn't what I was wanting to talk about. Let's see here. I have right here in my formerly nicotine-stained fingers, as Rush Limbaugh would say, my notes. I actually took, just a couple little notes. And, I'm going to have to go to the web, though, for some more memory. LibriVox. Okay, let's try that again. LibriVox. It's LibriVox .org, is it? Yeah, it's LibriVox.org. LibriVox.org. Anyway, they take public domain books. Stuff that has run out of copyright, and they have volunteers recording them. And I think I am going to volunteer to try and read something, but hopefully they're either they're good editors, or they don't mind if it takes me 6 months to read a book and edit the audio. But anyway, I downloaded the autobiography of Benjamin Franklin, and looking at my notes here, I'm trying to figure out why I put TJ instead of BF. Who's TJ? It was Benjamin Franklin. Oh, I know what it was. I thought it was Thomas Jefferson. Ah, see, there was a method to my madness, but it actually was Benjamin Franklin. The autobiography, and it was, it's read by some guy who's a volunteer, and he does a pretty good job of it. I don't really know, who he was exactly, but anyway, I was able to download the entire audiobook in a zip file. I also downloaded the autobiography of Mark Twain, otherwise known as Samuel Clemens. But I was listening to the Benjamin Franklin one, and it occurred to me how much slower of a pace life was back then, back in the 1700s. It just amazes me, like I don't know how it is in most of the rest of the world, but I know in America and probably in most other modern cultures, anybody that'd be listening to this, that we're the only people that will sit in front of a microwave oven and, you know, scream, "Hurry up!" You know, or, you know, on the freeway, which, you know, like I said, back in the day, there was nothing like a freeway. We get all upset when people are going slow and, or, you know, I don't know. It's just everything's rush, 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 rush. You know, now I can send an email or a Twitter, you know, Twitter especially, but I don't want to overdo Twitter because everybody's talking about Twitter. And if you want to follow me, it's MG Dell on Twitter. But, you know, I can send out an email to somebody, you know, compose it just like if I was writing a letter with a quill pen on parchment, but type it into the computer, and voila, if they're sitting at their computer, they get a little pop-up thing that says, "Hey, you got mail," or, you know, whatever, and then they can type a response back, and boom, I get a little pop-up thing that says I have mail, and then reply back, boom, you know, so we can have a back and forth letter writing thing over the course of a day where we've received and sent four or five letters, you know, in one day, and got replies to the letters that we sent and replied to the letters that we received. You know, back in Benjamin Franklin's time, you'd send out a letter and that might not get to the person for a month. And then they might spend, you know, a week composing the reply and put it in the mail, and another month, boom, you know, you get it. And, wow, how much of a difference that would be over what we've got now. You know, same thing with traveling. You know, they're talking about, or he was talking about in his autobiography, that, you know, it was a journey to go from Boston to New York, to Philadelphia. Then the journey would last, you know, days if not weeks. You know, it just boggles the mind, you know, that, you know, today if you wanted to hop on the shuttle between Boston and New York or Boston and Philadelphia, you know, it's an hour flight, an hour and a half flight, if that. You know, Boston, New York, the train's probably only a couple hours. I don't know. I'm not real familiar with the geography around there, but, you know, I know, you know, right now I could hop in my car up here in northern Michigan and be in Chicago in 5-6 hours. You know, that trek probably by sea would take, you know, by Lake Michigan, I guess that's the sea. But, you know, via Lake Michigan back in the sailing ship days, that'd be probably at least a full day, maybe a day and a half, 2 days to get to Chicago by water. Probably take 4 or 5 by horseback or more. I don't know. That's what, about 300 miles. So, yeah, it probably would take, 6-8 days by horseback. And maybe more by water. I'm not a real good judge of that, but, you know, he was talking about going by ship, whatever that means, by boat from New York to Philadelphia, or from Boston to Philadelphia, taking, you know, 4 or 5 days, and they'd have to stop in New York to bring on more provisions, and sometimes there wasn't wind enough, so they'd actually have to row. I guess I don't understand the scale of the size of the boat, but it's just amazing. And, you know, right now I feel lost if I'm not connected to the internet 24/7, and now I've sort of achieved that with the BlackBerry, and, you know, at work I'm surrounded by computers. You know, in the car, I've got the BlackBerry, or, you know, if I'm not driving, sometimes I even have the laptop out connected to the net via the BlackBerry or EVDO. And, you know, it's just like we're always connected. You know, we've got, you know, YouTube, Ustream, Stickcam, Twitter, of course. You know, see, now here I am addicted to my Crackberry. I don't know if you heard the little notification bell, but that was another email coming in on my Blackberry while I'm sitting here recording this podcast. It's just crazy. It just absolutely boggles the mind how much slower things were back, you know, 250, 300 years ago. And they seem to get along just fine. And I almost, you know, I don't want to go back to that because, you know, I kind of enjoy my gadgets and being connected. But on the other hand, wow, what a different life they was, you know, what that they had back then. It's just absolutely just amazing, you know, that you know, something such as a book. I mean, you know, be honest, when's the last time you picked up a book and read a book for entertainment? No, we get audiobooks, such as I was listening to with Benjamin Franklin autobiography. But, you know, we don't actually pick up a book and read. You know, but, you know, Benjamin Franklin would take his, he'd get a book, you know, and a library was just, you know, a whole new concept back then. But he'd borrow a book and, you know, he kept his Sundays as, that's his reading day. That, you know, and he'd read for an entire day. You know, I mean, I do a lot of reading, but it's mostly on the internet or something like that. Yeah, you know, he would have no concept of cell phones, and even regular telephones would probably boggle their minds. I don't know. I guess I'm derailed on my thought here, but, you know, sometimes I wish that, you know, we could go back to something a little simpler than what we've got now. I look at it, you know, like my job at you know, my day job, quote unquote, even though I do it at night. You know, when I first started there, you know, we produce magazines, junk mail, flyers, you know, whatever. It's a big printing house. And when I first started there, I worked in the plating department. And the way, like, say, a magazine, we have a magazine called Live Steam. It's all about people that like to build steam locomotives and trains you know, of miniature scale, not miniature, but, you know, small scale, but they can still ride around on them. I don't know, I guess the difference between a real tractor and a lawn tractor, it's just like a real locomotive versus these things. But anyway, I digress, but we do a magazine about that. It's called Live Steam and Outdoor Railroading. But anyway, that magazine was 80 pages, with, you know, plus a cover, and it was all one color. It was all black and white, so there was only one color ink on the press when they printed it. And they would, it would, let's see, they say it had maybe 50, 60 black and white photographs, or what we call halftones in the graphic arts business. And this is back in 1993 when I started, so it's not a ridiculously long time ago. But anyway, we'd get in these 70, 80, 100 photographs, whatever, and into the camera department. The camera department would take them and halftone them. They had this camera that was 15 feet long, and where you put the film was actually a room. These films were, you know, 18, 20 inches by 15 inches, something like that. And, you know, just took the camera department, you know, one guy or sometimes two working to scale these images and shoot them into halftones. And then they would take all that film after it was shot, and then they would take all the copy boards from the art department, which copy boards where they would print out on a computer, a laser printer, or I forget what the name of the machine that did that was, but it printed it out on film, but it was black and white, I mean literally white with black type on it. But they would take and cut that out and glue it to boards. And then they put the borders on, which they would actually cut and glue, the graphic artists would, onto these copy boards. And they'd be actual size of the pages, and they'd lay the pages out that way. And they'd cut in the type. And then they would, leave a box for the halftone pictures to go in. And they'd write on there in the middle of the box, which picture number would go into that space. And sometimes they would hand draw a little rough sketch of the picture just to show how to crop it in there. But then we'd take all these copy boards, and on that same camera, the camera department would shoot those. And this time they'd use 19-inch by 25-inch film and shoot it at 100%. And then all this film would go to the stripping department, they called it. And I was a stripper for a while, not getting naked in front of a crowd or anything, but that's what they called it in the printing industry, was stripping. And what you do is they had these big, clear pieces of Mylar film that were taped down to a table, and then you would lay out the side of the sheet of a 16-page, what they call signature, and it'd be 8 pages on one side, 8 pages on the other, and then it would fold up a certain way so that all 16 pages were in order. But they'd lay out these films that were shot of the copy boards. They'd lay those out in the right page order, and then they'd take another piece of clear Mylar and put that over top of the film after it was laid out, and then they would place the pictures and crop them, tape them down, in the correct spots. And then they would take this stuff called rubelith, which is a red masking piece of Mylar, and you could take an X-Acto blade and cut it out and then peel off the parts that you didn't want light to get through. Anyway, that's a whole long process of stripping. The bottom line is, back in those days, and that's, 15, 16 years ago, back in those days, it took 4 people and about 4 days to produce a proof of the magazine. That's what that is, you'd burn all the images from the film onto this special paper that changed colors under light, and then you would fold it all up and make a mock-up magazine. It was known as a Dilux or a Blue Line, I guess, is probably what a lot of people called it, but because it kind of was a bluish color. And it would, just show basically the type, where the pictures were cropped, and, just give you a basic idea of what it was going to look like. But it would take 4 days just to get the Blue Line out of our department, out of the department's, the pre-press art departments. And then, that's after the art. I mean, this is just after the artist is completely done doing the layout on the copy boards. This was, from art to the proof. And then it would take another day to actually plate it, to put it on metal plates, burn it on images onto the metal plates and get that out to the press. Take another day. So 5 full days and 4 people to get, this magazine on plates. However long the run was, is what it would take on the printing press. Well, in just the 15 years that I've been there, now there's, instead of 8 guys in my department, there's 2 to 3, 2 and an intern. And we're printing 4 color magazines. We're printing a lot more of them. I mean, the workload in that plant's probably 8 to 10 times what it used to be back in 1993, and we're doing it with 2 to 3 people. And, you know, now I can take a magazine from the art department, and the way I get it now from the art department, or from the designers, I should say, it's all prepress art, but the way I get it from the designers now is I get it as a PDF, or a series of PDFs, but say in the case of this 80-page magazine that we still produce, but now it's all in full color, it's still, you know, roughly 80 pages, you know, some months it's more, some months it's less. I can get that magazine in as a series of PDFs. I can print a color folding proof of it and have that back to the artist within about 2.5 hours from the time I get the files. And then if they go through the proof and they decide, okay, everything looks good, they send the proof back to me. And on that one, it's probably 6 hours of plating with a digital imager. So you have a little thing that laser images the plates, and it's pretty easy. So you push a button, wait 10 minutes, push another button, wait 10 minutes, push another button, wait 10 minutes, you know. So it's not like really work intensive, but you still got to know what you're doing, you know. Got to keep the salary up. But I can do, you know, just to what the blue line stage of that one color magazine was 15 years ago, I could get, I'd say, 3 to 4 of them done in one shift by myself. It used to take 4 guys 4 days to do. So, pretty amazing stuff. Let's see if I can find something else to play here. I'll close this out in 36 minutes. Wow. Yeah, cool. I haven't done a good Benzoid report in a long time.
She said she likes the rain, ain't afraid of the dark. I met her in a trailer park, blue-eyed girl about 5'4". I told her we would take it slow, but I should have never let her leave her toothbrush just in case she ever spent the night. As it turns out, the girl ain't right. I don't wanna say I'm scared. She's got me pulling out my hair, hoping that she don't feel like picking a fight tonight. She whistles Dixie in a minor key. I don't like the way she's looking at me. I think I'll take her for a night on the town, 'cause I feel much safer when there's people around. She's a red hot mama, I swear. The girl will turn every head. She gets so green with envy when a girl walks by, and I may want instead. Most of the time, I don't feel sorry, that's a favorite kind. Don't let the blonde hair fool you. The girl is black inside. Chopping people into little bits. The bitch is evil, I can't deny. Ain't a whole lot that I can do. I I should keep my mouth shut, and so should you. Oh, we both find ourselves living second smile.
Curtis Norris, and it just ain't right. Actually, I think the song is called SOS, and it was also found on GarageBand, so go check that out. So well, I guess I'm going to close this out and call this a Benzoid Report. Maybe I'll get on this a little more often, but you know, we've been doing all these other podcast and podcast related things. I've got a paid gig doing podcasting for a I can't really promote it here, but a medical concern in a state considerably south of here. Alright, I'm doing a podcast. I'm not talking on it. I'm just doing the audio editing and consulting and the RSS feeds and the podcast portion of their website, but it's for a large dental group in Missouri. I guess I won't narrow it down any further than that, but so that's been taking up some of my time podcasting. Of course, I'm doing a daily show now. Although we just come off of a week-long hiatus, but of course, Strange Today at www.strangetoday.com. That's mainly with my wife and I and a few other guest hosts. If you'd like to be a guest host for Strange Today, let me know. You can email me at mike@mikedell.com. And I will send you a script. Excuse me. Clear my throat there. I'll send you a script, and you can read the script, pimp your show, pimp whatever else you want to pimp, and all that. So, and then, of course, I'm doing What's Up With That with Jim Farley. And I've done... I don't know, what are we up to, 40-something shows? I think 42 is coming up here next. That'll be a very special show, since 42 is the meaning of life, the universe, and everything, according to Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe. A couple of shows ago, we did we didn't do an interview. It was more like PW was guest hosting, but with the famous satellite repairman, Uncle Jesse, from Podshow/Mevio, PW Fenton, Digital Flotsam, and Perfect Head, his two podcasts. But anyway, he joined us on What's Up With That, And that was a really good show, so I suggest you go back and check that out. It was either number 39 or 40 or 41. I don't know. I'm not looking at it. Like I said, I'm in Linux right now. So, you know, don't have access to all my bookmarks and all that. So I'm not sure, but go check it out at whatsuppodcast.com. And that's the one with P.W. Fenton. So it'll be one or two shows back, depending on when you're listening to this. Because tomorrow morning, unless Jim's got something else going on, we're going to do number 42. So probably it's 40, I want to say. What's up with that 40? And, of course, I'm doing the ham radio pod class. We're refeeding the technician right now. We'll, right after that, be refeeding the general on the main feed. And then when we're done with that, John Martin and myself will be starting up the Extra Topics podcast, which will be, you know, part of the hot ham radio pod class, but it'll be Extra Topics, and that's topics that would be on the extra class ham radio exam, but we're not going to go through and do a complete class, but because by the time you get to that level, you know all the basics, and we don't need to explain that, but some of the harder stuff and other miscellaneous general ham radio topics and other general topics of electronic hobbying interest will be on that, and we're hoping that will be at least a weekly show to begin with. Now, whether it stays weekly or not, who knows? It's just like What's Up With That, you know, we've been doing it for a year and a couple of months, and maybe 5 months. Yeah, I don't know. I gotta look back at the archives, but you know, it doesn't always happen weekly, but you know, it'll happen somewhat weekly. Maybe sometimes very weekly. Anyway, with that, I'll get out of here. And wish everybody a happy day, night, week, month, year, however long it is till I do the next one. Hopefully it won't be that long. We're up to 88. I'd like to get through 100 before the end of the year. And being that it's almost June, I've got 7 months. So hopefully I can pull off another 12 shows before 7 months happens. But I don't know. I'll try. Send me an email if you want to encourage that activity. Because the more email I get, the more apt I'm going to do another show. So with that, this podcast is brought to you on the Blueberry Network. That's www.blubrry.com. And it's also brought to you by GoDaddy Hosting. And you can use promo code BLU85 for a 10% discount on any hosting product from GoDaddy.com. All right, now that I got all the pimping out of the way, this podcast is also put out under a Creative Commons 3.0 license. That just means it is copyrighted, but you can pretty much do what you want as long as you give me credit for it or ask me first or any of the above, I guess. So, anyway, catch me later.